Welcome to Your Inner Radiance, your new go-to for self-love practices, yoga lifestyle inspiration, and Ayurvedic tips to support you to uncover your inner radiance. Hey, welcome back to Your Inner Radiance. I am super excited to share with you this interview I did with my friend Cree. Cree is so inspiring to me. I met her when I came to her workshop several years ago at a festival. She teaches all about the menstrual cycle. And to me, her passion for it really ignites my excitement about really paying more attention and honoring my feminine cycle, which for a long time, especially when I was younger, I really didn't pay attention to at all. I always just pushed through it, you know, just did whatever I needed to do to take care of myself, but didn't really pause at all to rest. And as I've gotten more attuned to my body, more caring about my health, and more attuned to the cycles of nature, I've really wanted to and have felt the calling in my body to really honor these cycles that we go through. And I also really want to share the kind of passion that Cree offers around menstrual cycle awareness to everybody, to normalize talking about it between both women and men and our children, and to normalize the support for ourselves and for each other when we are going through our monthly transitions and cycles, because it's really an incredible thing that our body does. It's something that is so magical and so beautiful that we have this cycle that shifts, you know, our bodies and our minds and our energy throughout the month. It's an opportunity that we have to cleanse and refresh ourselves each month that our body just does for us. But it's also an opportunity for us women, when we go through the menstrual cycle, throughout the journey, to honor ourselves where we're at. And I think it's something that's slowly becoming more talked about and accepted. But I think there's still a long way to go because of the stigma that has been attached to bleeding through so many centuries and across many cultures. There's this stigma that, you know, you don't really talk about it. It's even in some cultures considered, you know, to be dirty, and that women should go apart and be separate and not to talk about it. And there is this movement to change that, and to really honor this cycle that we have, and to honor the power that comes from being a woman who bleeds and who cycles each month and who has this capacity to create life and to sow seeds inside and outside through this power of our menstrual cycle. So Cree Anaya Cox is on the show today. I'm super excited to introduce you to her. She is a holistic womb educator, a cycle mentor, and an Arvigo practitioner. And she teaches women how to live life in sync with their natural rhythm and flow. She is on a mission to liberate women from external systems of control through education, inspiration, and empowerment. She inspires women to reclaim their power within by teaching them lifestyle practices to make menstrual cycle awareness a way of life. Welcome, Cree, to Your Inner Radiance.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yay. I've been wanting to do this for a while. I'm so excited that I get to share you and your wisdom with my listeners. So my first question for you is, what unveils your inner radiance?
That's a good question. One of the first things that comes to mind is nature. I just feel like the more time I get out in nature and really connecting with the earth and everything that she has to offer. Like, it kind of reminds me of my own internal radiance, because the radiance of the earth is just like so beautiful and so profound. That's the first thing that comes to mind with that question.
Yeah, good one. Good answer. I agree. I feel like I never feel like I get quite enough time in nature, being a busy, working woman and mama, but every time I do get out there, even if it's just for a little bit in my backyard, I feel so rejuvenated. And I mean, nature and nature's cycles, I think are really what inspires your work on following our own natural cycles. So I'd love to just, hear from you a little bit on why you are in this line of work and what has inspired you to be a holistic womb educator and teach women how to live in sync with their natural cycles.
I feel like it is a calling of spirit. It's not something when I was young, I wasn't like, I'm going to teach women about their cycles and menstruation. Just like pretty much majority of women, there's some rare exceptions. I didn't have any mentors or older women in my life who really knew anything about the menstrual cycle. It was very common for all women, myself included, to essentially be told like how to use pads and tampons, which one you want to use, and then kind of like be sent on your way, try and figure it out sort of thing. I don't really talk about it. So I didn't really have any awareness around that even being a thing. And it was when I started to get more on the health path and became aware of organic eating and then using organic tampons, I started learning about all of the harmful things that were in just like your general commercial tampons. And so I was at the health food store and I had started my period, and at that point I wasn't tracking at all. So it would just like come by what felt like surprise. I didn't know it was going to be coming. And I was like, oh, I need to get tampons. And so I went to the tampon aisle, and the only tampons they had were tampons without an applicator. And I hadn't ever used one of those before. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm trying organic tampons and without an applicator. And there was a really profound moment when I inserted it and made that physical contact with my body and got a little of my blood on my fingers, that something clicked in me. And I was like, wait a minute, I think there's something more to this menstruation thing. And then it was just a naturally, organically unfolding path from there. Different mentors coming into my life. And as I started gaining more and more awareness around like what was actually going on with the menstrual cycle, working with women who just had this perspective on it and this awareness around it that I had never even heard of before, it just evolved. And as I started diving into it more, like I'm very much a person that like I dive into things when I want to learn about it. And a big piece was like really just like becoming fully present with my own cycle. And years later, after I initially started getting into things, I was doing a business mastermind, and one of the first things that we did was work with a woman calling herself the period coach. And at that time, I was like, you can do that? Like, that's a thing. And this was like 5 or 6 years ago. And she introduced us to the four phases of the menstrual cycle, which at that point, I hadn't been introduced to the phases of the menstrual cycle yet. And when we sat with her by the end of that, I was like, oh, this is it. This is what I'm doing. And at that point, like I was signing up for this business mastermind, not knowing what I was wanting to do. And that's some of why I was getting into it. So it just unfolded from there. And I really started diving deep into understanding the four different phases of how they express themselves in my body. And a couple years into that, I came across the book Wild Power. And I was like, oh my God, these women are putting into words everything that I've been feeling and experiencing. And so it was shortly after that that I decided to create a, I started doing just a one-on-one coaching program called Embody Your Flow that started out as a 6-week thing. Did that with three women. And then after doing that, I realized, like, oh, this needs to be a group program because I'm repeating the same information over and over again. And we as women learn so much from other women. Like, I'm one woman with one cycle, and cycles express themselves in so many different ways. And so then I started offering it as a group program. And then things have just kind of evolved from there.
Wow. So it was really synchronistic how it all lined up for you. That's awesome. Yeah. Living in the flow. So you mentioned the four phases of the menstrual cycle. And I think probably a lot of people have a vague, basic idea of that. But I know there's so much more to know. Like just from taking a couple of classes from you, it's really opened up my world. And I still feel like I'm just at the tip of the iceberg with really being in touch with it. But I'd love for you to share those four phases with our listeners of the menstrual cycle.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. First, I just want to preface it with speaking to the practice of menstrual cycle awareness, which is one of the things that I teach and offer. And essentially, menstrual cycle awareness, to sum it up, is being intimately aware of where you're at in your cycle, what day you're on, what phase you're in, and what that means for you on a personal basis. And once you open your eyes to working with menstrual cycle awareness, like, you can't shut it off. It's basically just like I tell women all the time, I'm not teaching you anything new, because it's something that's happening in your body, and it's a very integrated part of who we are. I'm just more so providing the roadmap. So instead of like going on a road trip and not really looking at the map and hoping you can figure it out as you go, and not really like checking the weather, so you don't really know what to prepare, and you hope you have what you need, but you don't really know. It's like, I look at it as stopping by the outfitting post, and you get the weather forecast, you get provided with all of the gear that you need, the food, your setup, so that like that road trip is as smooth and efficient as possible, rather than like, well, I guess I'll just try and figure it out. So it's just very integrated into our bodies. And it's this innate wisdom that we all carry and that we all have. And the more you start paying attention to it, the more it will start speaking to you, and you'll understand it. Like, all of the time when I'm teaching women, I just see these light bulbs go off, and they're like, well, I've never thought of it in that way, but that makes so much sense. And it explains all of these things that I'm experiencing all the time.
Right. That makes so much sense. Yeah. Cause it's really aligned with what I teach in Ayurveda, is that we have this inner intelligence that is orchestrating all of the goings on in our body. And normally we're just not paying attention. And the more we get, you know, to, through education and through just self-awareness, paying attention to what's going on, our body naturally talks to us more and gives us the information we need to balance it. And that's what's happening with menstrual cycle awareness. And I have to admit, like, even after taking your classes, sometimes I'm really good at like paying attention and like being, you know, following the map. And then sometimes I just get off track and like have just this basic awareness of where I am in my cycle. But I know you are like so amazing at honoring every phase, and, you know, taking that time off and honoring each of those cycles. And I feel like every time I talk to you, I get more inspired and like reignited to do better at that. So I'm excited to hear again about the four phases, and hopefully everybody can gain something from just getting more, you know, familiar with talking about them and how we can just bring that awareness into each part of our lives. So yeah, go for it. Let's hear them.
All right. So each phase of the menstrual cycle is associated with a moon phase, a season, and a season of womanhood. So I'll refer to the different phases interchangeably between the actual phase itself and then the season that it's associated with. So we'll just go ahead and start with the menstrual phase. That's the easiest starting place. The menstrual phase is also known as the inner winter. That's the season that it's associated with. The moon phase is the new moon. When the moon is dark in the sky, you can't see it naturally. It's a more introverted time. And the season of womanhood is the crone. It's that wise woman energy. So the menstrual phase is really highly misunderstood and not honored in the way that it needs to be at all. Really, we need to be creating space in our culture on a more macro level, but then like bringing it into the micro level, we need to be creating space in our own lives to allow ourselves to rest more during that time. So it's the most introverted phase of the cycle, and it's the time for rest and renewal, rejuvenation, significantly slowing down. If we look at what the earth is doing during winter, all of the energy is going down and into the roots. The trees are leafless. The plants have died off. All of the energy is really like brought down into the earth. So it's this internal hunker down sort of energy. I'm in Utah, so I have all four of the seasons here, and having the seasons has really helped me to understand the phases of the menstrual cycle even more. Mm-hmm. So for those who do live in places where there are the four seasons, I always encourage you to pay attention to what you notice you want to do during wintertime. For one, the days are much darker. There's not as much daylight, especially as we get closer to the winter solstice. It's like the darkest time. And generally, it's like you want to be cozy, you want to be warm. It's really important to have warm, nourishing foods, nourishing teas, and just a time to like slow down. Like everything is slowing down during that time. And of course, you know, the modern world isn't, because we're so out of sync with living with the natural rhythms of the earth that we just keep pumping a 24-hour, 9-to-5, Monday mm-hmm. through Friday kind of schedule. And it's really not harmonious for any human. And I feel like women particularly feel the effects of that even more, because we are cyclical beings. So some general rules of thumb that I have during the menstrual phase is, if it doesn't absolutely need to be done, don't do it. Mm. And as women, we can make ourselves think that a lot of things need to be done when they actually really don't need to be done. And it's so important. And the thing is like, I've been doing this for a long time, and I have to remind myself every single winter, hey, it's time to slow down. You don't need to do that. Do less, let it go. And I kind of have to like, you know, kind of battle with that part of myself, because I'm very much like an on the go, always doing something, moving very fast type of person.
Right.
But once I kind of cross that threshold and tune into my body, like my body just wants to rest. It gets really heavy. I move really slow. I'm tired. And so it's really important as women to not judge that when that comes up, and to realize that like all of the hormones have dropped, and really like your reserves and capacity for external energy just isn't there like it is in other phases of the cycle. And so mm-hmm. how this can show up, you know, because there's like a lot of mamas that are like, well, I can't really take time off, because for me, I work for myself. So I'll schedule, if I can, sometimes I can't, like 3 full days off while I'm bleeding, and really enter into like ceremony space with it, because it's just so deeply profound. But for women who maybe work a full-time job, they're moms, or they work for someone else and they don't have the capacity to do that, it's mm-hmm. really important to like communicate with your body and be like, okay, I have to work this shift today, and I get that you have a need for rest. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to work this shift, and then when I go home, I'm going to sit on the couch for an hour and not do anything and drink some tea. Mm-hmm. So we have to get creative with how we interweave rest and stillness into our days during that time. Another hack that can be done is doing food prep. Like even if you are a mom, doing food prep in advance before you're going to start bleeding. And this is where tracking your cycle really comes into play, because you can forecast when you're going to start bleeding. You do food prep so that once you're bleeding, all you have to do is like warm up the food and it's good to serve and go. And mm-hmm. so it's minimal dishes, minimal prep, minimal cleanup, and really like eliciting the support of your partner, or even moms with older kids. Like, we have to communicate to people in our lives what we need during each phase. We're kind of like 4 different people throughout our cycle, and we have different capacities and different ways that we can show up. So it's really important to understand how we can show up during moon time and let partners know, like, hey, I need to be off duty for day 1 and 2 of my cycle. Will you handle the cooking, the childcare, whatever it is, you know, and find ways that that works within each individual household. And it's trial and error. It's really important to just make incremental changes, to not try and like jump into all of these big changes right away. Like, what's a 1 to 10% change that you can make? Maybe the one change you're going to make is, instead of getting home from work on day one and doing dishes and tending to all of the home things, you're going to turn your phone on airplane mode so you're not reachable, and draw yourself a bath and take an hour in the bath to really like let your body know, I hear you and your need for rest. I have an hour that I can give you, and I'm going to completely let go of everything during this time.
Yeah. Yeah, sacred pause. And back to that thing about communicating with our, you know, partners and bosses and family. I know we've talked about that a little before, and you're just so open about it. And it's inspired me to be more open about it. And it's really awesome how people respond, actually. Like, most people, you know, even though it's been so taboo in our culture for so long, and, you know, like menstruation seems like it has such this bad rap, it's actually amazing how most people respond with a lot of curiosity and honor and respect for it. Like, my husband is like super respectful of when I, you know, say I'm starting my moon or ask him for some extra support. And I talk to my son about it all the time now. And so he's getting it. And I'm just like super open about the things that are happening in my body and like showing him what I have to do and things like that. And I think it's just like so important, and something you've inspired me to do more is make it less of a taboo subject and bring it out into the open and just start this like slow micro revolution of bringing this awareness into everybody's lives.
Yeah, absolutely. In a lot of ways, I feel like I'm leading a menstrual revolution, and it's not in this big outward spoken kind of way. Like, one of the most revolutionary things that we can do is talk about it in our intimate and personal lives, bring it into our households. If the workplace feels safe, like bridging it into there. Some people aren't receptive to it, but I've found that most people are. And that a lot of partners actually really understand, sometimes even more than women, because they watch their partners go through these different phases from more of this external perspective. So they can just see it. And they're like, oh, all you need is like a little extra support during this time. Yes, I'm happy to. Because then they see the evidence of what comes from their partners having that little extra time off or having that extra support that they need.
Totally.
So, yeah, it's just this is really important to start to honor and to slow down. In the book, The Wild Power, they talk about the art of doing nothing, which is actually really hard for so many women. They're like, wait, you really want me to just lay around and do nothing?
And it's like, so hard.
Yep. And I've had to go through a lot of dismantling of societal programming and conditioning that I didn't even realize I had inherited. Because when I would start to have these moon time retreats and I would literally just like lay around and do nothing, there would be these tapes playing in the background of like, oh, you're not being productive. You should do this. This needs to be done. Here's your to-do list, like all of these things. But my body would just be like so heavy, and I knew that's what I needed to be doing. And then finally, like, I don't know how many months into that, I just had this moment where I was like, actually, this is the most productive thing I can be doing right now. So it's really reframing what productivity looks like. And we're not designed to be on all the time. We'll do it and we'll keep going and we'll keep pushing. We'll do whatever needs to be done, but we don't have to. And we are actually way more productive in other phases of the cycle when we allow ourselves to slow down and shift gears when our bodies are most asking for it.
Yeah. And like, speaking of, you know, it's hard to imagine how you can be productive when you're not doing anything, but your body is like doing so much cleansing, right? Like, that's one of the beauties of being a woman and having this menstrual cycle, is that every month we have this thing that happens where our body is cleansing from the inside. And so a lot is actually happening, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so much is happening, and it is a time to really restore our nervous system. Like our nervous system can just be like running on high, and our bodies have cortisol pumping through it like all of the time, just because we live in a high stress world. Like even just driving a car on the highway at 80 miles an hour with a bunch of cars and semis flying mm-hmm. around you, like that creates this boost of cortisol, this like stress response in the body, because it's very unnatural. And so when we really allow ourselves to significantly slow down and shift gears, it allows our bodies and our nervous system to heal so that we can be more recharged to then get back into day-to-day life.
Totally.
So there's so much more that can be said on the menstrual phase. I oftentimes have to like pull myself away from it just because like there's so much juiciness and so much depth that can come from that. So we'll just go ahead and make our way into the next phase, which is the follicular phase. And that comes approximately right around day 5 or 6 or 7. It varies cycle to cycle, and it depends on how long your cycle is. The numbers that I'm giving for these are based on like a 28-day cycle, but I do want to just say, because this is important for women to know, that anywhere from a 24 to 36-day cycle is totally healthy and normal. Anything consistently outside of that range, or if you're bouncing around a lot, that mm-hmm. is considered more of an irregular cycle and some signs of hormonal balance going on, hormonal imbalance going on.
Right.
But the 28 is just the average day. So if like you aren't having a 28-day cycle, it doesn't mean you're early or late or that there's something wrong. It's just you have a different cycle pattern. And it varies. Like mine fluctuates anywhere from 26 to 29 days on average.
Okay, right. What do you think about, you know, the beautiful theory that if we're like super in balance and we're like really honoring our bodies and everything, that we're going to cycle with the moon?
I love the idea of it, and I don't know how much that really truly happens. For some women, they're totally synced up with the moon. I think it's really hard to know for sure what that would be like, because we have so much artificial light pollution at mm-hmm. night. And, you know, I have like low light practices in my home where I don't have any bright nighttime lighting. It's all like salt lamps mostly, or really like soft warm lighting. So I do my best to work with that, but also like if I'm ever out and driving anytime past dark, like there's all of this artificial lighting coming in. And for me, because the average moon phase is about like 29 and a half days, sometimes I'm with the moon, sometimes I'm not. And I think there's this kind of romanticized idea that when we were living in more nature-based cultures, that like women were synced up and they were bleeding with the new moon and all of these things. But I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I think there's always going to be variabilities to it, because hormones are always shifting and changing, and every body is a little bit different as well. So I don't know. And there's not enough like studies and information on that. I would love to see if there's like information looking at people who are still living in those nature-based ways to see if that's playing out there. Like that's going to give us like the best evidence, but I just don't know that there's anyone looking at that.
Well, that's good. It takes the pressure off.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, the biggest thing is like, just, you want to have a consistent cycle length. Like you don't want to see a lot of variability in the length of days. Like I said, mine, it like varies like by a few days, but it's usually right around 27, 28. Consistency to your blood flow. One of the things that I teach is what a healthy cycle actually looks like. And I do have that on my website too. So there's a lot of like checks and balances to know if you're having a healthy cycle for yourself, but yeah, relieving any pressure to be synced up with the moon, even though as I'm sharing these different phases, they're each associated with the moon phase. Just because the menstrual phase is associated with the new moon, if you aren't bleeding with the new moon, it doesn't mean you're out of sync or out of balance. It's just simply that the new moon energy is most similar to the menstrual energy. That's it.
Okay, awesome. Got it.
Yeah. So I think I forgot to share this piece with menstruation. So menstruation, the days of that phase is generally day 27 to approximately day 5. And we'll circle back around to why it starts at day 27, because that's a couple days before day one of the actual bleed itself. We'll circle back around to that when we make it all the way through and get to the end of the luteal. But you start to drop into that inner winter energy before the bleed actually starts. Right. It's very noticeable. Like everything just like kind of like drops and significantly slows down.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So yeah, the phase after the menstrual phase is the follicular phase. It's approximately day 6 to day 11 or 12. It's the inner spring. It's associated with the maiden, the young maiden for the season of womanhood, and the waxing crescent moon. So our bodies are always mirroring what's going on in nature. So why it's associated with the waxing moon is around day 5, 6, this is when estrogen really starts to rise a little bit. And then it kind of, you get this estrogen surge as you're building up to the peak ovulation. So spring and summer, they definitely bleed together. And just like the external seasons, like it's not like all of a sudden it's spring, all of a sudden it's summer. Like there's crossover days and there's bleeding energy where it's like, especially day 6 or 7 in your cycle, you could like feel super springy and start to feel really motivated and inspired and like you want to engage with the world. And then by the end of the day, it's like you want to go back into your cave and curl up into your cocoon again and like just be cozy. And that happens when we're coming out of winter. Like there will be some really nice, beautiful, gorgeous spring days, and then it can snow for 3 days and be cold again. But true. Then once spring actually kicks in, it's like full on spring and everything is blossoming and blooming and there's this surging life. So just like the energy is starting to surge up from the roots of the trees and start to make its way like through the trunk out into the branches, and it starts to blossom and life is starting to just like pop out everywhere. That's mirroring the estrogen surge that's happening in our body. And so naturally we're moving from the roots, which is our most internal state of being. And we're starting to want to like open up and engage with the world again. So the young maiden, it's just this very like youthful, zestful curiosity for life, where maybe you felt like unconfident and insecure day 4 of your cycle. You're all of a sudden like feeling much more confident and ready to take on the world. This is a great time to like start new projects and initiate different ideas and visions that came through during moon time. And it's really important not to blast off into this too quickly, because you can like make yourself drop. It can be very tempting to be like, woo, it's spring, like I'm ready to go. But it's important to slowly let it build and follow that natural wave of the estrogen building in the body. So spring then evolves into the ovulatory phase, which that is approximately day 12 to 15, 16, depending on the length of your cycle. There's always going to be variabilities. It's associated with the summertime. The season of womanhood is the mother, and the moon phase is the full moon. So one thing I want to make clear with the ovulatory phase is, although it's can be 4 to 5 days, you're not ovulating that whole time. Ovulation itself is just a 12 to 24 hour event where what's happening with the estrogen building in the body, it's stimulating the eggs in the follicles to mature and ripen. And then the most mature ones, one of those is released during ovulation. And so ovulation itself is just that 12 to 24 hour window that the whole cycle revolves around. The whole reason we even have a bleed is because we're ovulating. And we have the bleed if we don't get pregnant. And so it's just this continual cycle. It's this biological design for us to be able to procreate. It's just this cycle that goes over and over and over again. So but the ovulatory window is considered like the fertile window, because the presence of cervical mucus and different things in the body are creating conditions where you could potentially get pregnant, where sperm can stay alive for up to 5 days or longer with healthy cervical mucus, and then it will get released at that point of ovulation, but you're not ovulating that whole time. So some of the things with the summer is, like, we're coming out of that now. Like, we were just in this full expansive summertime energy. It's these long, full days. The sun is out for hours. It's warm. Usually it's just like wanting to explore and engage. And there's all sorts of social activities going on. And it's just this very externally oriented energy. So the summer is the most external point in the cycle, whereas menstruation is the most internal. So they're mirroring each other in those opposites of polarities of the yin and the yang energy. Mm-hmm. The summer, it's like kind of like superwoman time, where it's like we feel like we can do all the things and we want to do all the things and we do all the things, and then we like can have even more energy. It's a really efficient time to be engaging with the external world, and it's just like generally with the rise in estrogen, our complexion is looking better, our skin looks healthier, our hair is more vibrant, we feel more confident, we're putting out pheromones that are designed to draw a mate to us, because again, it's biological drive where our bodies are trying to procreate. So we can seem more attractive and magnetic. And there's actually been some studies that have been done that have shown that women who work in the service industry, they make more tips during their ovulation.
So funny. Yeah. That makes sense.
Totally.
Because we not only, like, we look better and we feel better and we're probably smiling more and we've got those pheromones. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And we're, like, open and receptive to the world. So, like, as the moon is growing from that waxing crescent into the full moon, it's just that energy is drawing up and out, and we're not connected to our internal world. And because of that, it can seem like a lot of our life problems just kind of disappear during ovulation. Like, I have that happen all the time. I see it happen with my girlfriends all the time, where it's just like, life is just really good. Like, I just feel so good right now. And it's important to, like, milk that as much as possible. So here's this, like, different expression of self, right? Like, the menstrual self is that more internal, like, I feel really sensitive to the world. I'm not very confident. I don't know. Like, I just don't want to go out and engage. And then the spring energy starts to come in the young maidens, like, okay, yeah, I can do this. Ooh, like, what do I want to, like, start to put my energy towards? And then that evolution into the mother energy of that summer is it's just like that full expression of that radiant magnetism of the feminine. And I tell women to milk it as much as possible while it lasts, because what I feel like it's doing is it's entraining us on a cellular level to know how good we can feel. And it's accompanied with the surge of hormones, but it's just like really just like milking it. And what's happening in the body that's mirroring that energy coming up and out is the rise of estrogen is actually causing the cervix to raise in the vaginal canal to soften and to open in preparation to receive the sperm. But what that mirrors in us in our expression is we can generally be a lot more open and receptive to the world around us. So I've had like multiple moms, one mom friend in particular, who during her ovulation, she just like, she has two young boys that are wild and loud and crazy. And during ovulation, she just thinks they're so cute and they have so much fun. And she's just so receptive to them and certain things aren't a big deal. And then the drop into luteal happens and she gets like deeper into luteal as she gets closer to moon time. And she's like, oh my God, it just sounds like nails on a chalkboard. So I share that because this is like for mamas, this is like where you feel like you're like the best mom, the mom you maybe want to be all of the time. But because we're cyclical beings, like you're just not, because you don't have the reserve and capacity to be that. But again, like milk that as much as possible. Like this is the mothering time where your energy is so outside of you. Like that is the energy of mamahood, is it's just like, it's on your family, your home, your kids, and you're really receptive to take that in.
That makes so much sense. Yeah. And you're probably, you know, also the best partner you can be and the best friend you can be. And like, I know I'm so much more likely to want to go out and be social and be like, you know, like you said, really wanting to engage in that compassionate and open way. Like I always want to go out and dance on, you know, in ovulation times, definitely for me, the best time. And I love summer. It's my favorite season. So that makes sense that they line up.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you can see it, you can feel why, and it's just a natural thing. And so one of the benefits of cycle tracking is when you start to understand what phase you're in, like, and this gets into more like cyclical planning, where say, for example, you wanted to do a Vipassana retreat. You don't really want to plan it if it's landing like right in the spring and ovulation. For one, it's going to like, you're going to be a lot more restless trying to sit still because your energy is wanting to express itself outward. Also, you're not going to have as much insight as to what's going on into your internal realms. So say even you just go to like any regular retreat or a workshop or like you're at a class where they're trying to have you like access your internal realms more. You're going to drop in and like, you just really like can't access your internal roots because you're like clear up in the branches and in that like full moon energy, where you might not get as insightful information. And then come a week later, once you start to get more into the luteal phase, which is where we'll be going into next, all of a sudden your inner awareness is turned on because you're not like in this hormonal high, and you're going to like start to see a lot more things that are going on. So it's just having that awareness that like, maybe if you go to do a transformational retreat and it's during your summer, it just might not come with much internal depth. You might go to journal and just be like, my life is amazing. I just feel so good.
Wow. That is very insightful. I love that. Thank you. That's helpful.
Yeah. Totally. So one more quick thing with the spring and summer energy. This is the energy that the world wants us to be in all the time. And it's just a third of our cycle. So it's really important to be mindful of that, because when we start to align ourselves with the different phases and understand that we're four different people that have different needs and capacities and abilities of how we can show up in the world, we can have compassion for ourselves at different phases in our cycle. And we can understand like, this is the time that I can give you my all. This is the time that I can show up in my fullness and be full on everything. And I have other times that I can't, but right now, like, you get all of me. Sort of thing. And it's just bringing that cyclical awareness into how we show up in the world and just speaking to it. The more we speak to it, the more we normalize it, and the more we can really meet ourselves with a gentleness and not be wondering what's wrong with me. That's one of my favorite parts with menstrual cycle awareness and tracking your cycle, is it really helps to take out the what's wrong with me energy.
Yeah.
So I'll speak to that a little bit more as we get into luteal, which is the next phase. Luteal starts approximately day 15, 16 and goes until day 26 or 27. And again, this is based on the 28-day cycle. So if you have a shorter or longer cycle, these are going to be different. And the luteal phase is so it's also the inner fall. It's associated with the queendom, or the enchantress energy in the seasons of womanhood, and the waning moon. So the full moon, after it reaches its fullness and you have that like full estrogen surge and your body ovulates, that egg is viable for 12 to 24 hours. And then if it didn't get fertilized, the egg dies, and it most of the time just gets reabsorbed back into the tissue of the uterus. And then estrogen plummets. And the reason why estrogen plummets is estrogen is responsible for cervical mucus production, stimulating the follicles, changing the position of the cervix, all of that kind of stuff that's preparing for an implantation. If that implantation doesn't occur, estrogen drops, progesterone kicks in, and a mucus plug is created in the cervix so that there's a block and nothing can enter in again. So it has to be pretty dramatic to shut down all of these things that have been going on for the past 5 or so days. And this is a point that I feel like all women need to be aware of, and I call it ovulation come down. Usually in my classes, I'll show a hormone chart, and it's a pretty significant drop from like this peak estrogen surge to then where it plummets. And that can be a really hard transition time for a lot of women, that entry into the luteal energy, because you go from feeling like super confident and alive and passionate and turned on and just like in love with life to estrogen plummeting. Is just like your energy drops, you can feel unmotivated, like you don't want to do anything, and you're like questioning everything in your life.
I first heard you say that term a couple years ago and I had never paid attention, and then like my next cycle it totally happened. I was like, oh my god, I totally get it, like I'm right there.
Yep.
And it was hard. And but it was helpful to have that like framework and that terminology to be like, oh, this isn't just like me, like this isn't something wrong with me. This is, I see, this is what's happening, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to circle back to, is like, this is one of the key points in the cycle where it takes out the what's wrong with me. Because when you're aware of it, you realize like you can't change what's going on. You can't change what's coming up, but you can change your approach to it, and you can take out the what's wrong with me. Like, why am I feeling this way when yesterday I was feeling that way? It takes out the comparison to how you were feeling before, and it helps bring in that energy of compassion to realize, I know exactly why I'm feeling this way. And you know what? I'm going to shift gears. And if I don't have to do certain things, I'm not going to do it. Like for me, I'll have so much motivation during ovulation and all of these ideas and these inspirations. And like, I'll be riding this momentum, and then ovulation come down happens and I don't want to do anything. And it took me like multiple cycles of finally just surrendering to ovulation come down energy when I could, instead of trying to like continue that momentum that I had that just isn't there anymore. I step back from what I was working on, and I would just let myself like chill as much as possible. Like it, for me, it lasts like a day or two, and then estrogen kind of comes back up again until it makes its last decline in later in luteal. So it's just really important to know these different points. It's like, again, kind of going back to that roadmap thing. It's like pointing out like, here's a point that might be difficult here. Use caution, mm-hmm. drive slow, you know, like whatever mm-hmm. it is you need to do. And this is, menstrual cycle awareness and paying attention to the cycles is one of the greatest tools of self-discovery and one of the greatest tools that we have to understand ourselves. Because we're governed by hormones. Like, it's not a bad thing once you understand what's going on. So I also like to take out like this subtle victim mentality that can be playing out of like, oh, I'm just run by crazy, unpredictable hormones. Mm-hmm. Like, no, yes, you are run by hormones. And when you understand them, they're not crazy and unpredictable. It's actually very predictable. And then you have this beautiful, intelligent design in your body via your menstrual cycle that is letting you know in advance to getting any tests done if there's more imbalances that are present in your body, because it will manifest in the cycle. So we have this really beautiful diagnostic tool built into our bodies, but we just haven't been taught how to listen to it and how to work with it.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good that people like you are educating, and it is shifting. I feel like now, you know, I can talk about this with all kinds of people. Like, I hear people just using, you know, menstrual cycle terminology all the time. Like women saying, oh, I'm on my moon right now, and so I think I'm going to lay low tonight. Or, you know, it's like more commonly spoken of. And it might just be because I live in that kind of community, but it gives me a lot of hope that, you know, things are shifting and it's going to be more embraced by everybody, and men too. Like, I hope men are going to listen to this podcast and pay attention too, because everybody benefits from, you know, learning about these cycles and learning how to honor the women in their life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like you mentioned before, like I find most men that I talk to about this are curious and they want to know more because they want to better understand their partners and their daughters and loved ones in their lives.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so beautiful.
So I'll speak to luteal just a little bit more. The luteal and the menstrual phase are the two most understood and resisted phases of the menstrual cycle. So luteal is multi-layered, and just like what's going on during fall time is the days are getting shorter and the leaves are starting to drop and return to the earth to decompose and to release and let go that year's growth so that it's prepared to start the cycle over again when that spring comes. And all of the plants are drying off. It's also like a full harvest time too. So there's like, you know, the beginning of fall is more of that harvest time. And then as we progress deeper into the fall, it's more about that release and that letting go and that preparation to draw inward. So some of how that manifests physically in the body is when that estrogen plummets, the cervix closes up, it lowers in the vaginal canal and gets more firm. And it's just kind of like shutting down shop until the next fertile window comes. And so the body is mirroring that more contracted state and energy that's starting to come in. So during summer, I like to refer to ovulation time as having these rose-colored heart-shaped glasses on. And ovulation come down, you just like take them off and you kind of can get hit with this harsh reality. Now, it's multifaceted because the way the luteal phase is commonly talked about, it's the premenstrual time, and it's the time where it's like societally associated with bitchiness and PMS and like all of these other things that come up, which, yes, that is very much an expression that's happening. But I always like to dig deeper and like look at what is the deeper truth here. So with the luteal phase, it's truth time. You can no longer hide from what's going on in your life. And sometimes it can become just like painfully obvious. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people will continue to hide by checking out, by watching a lot of TV, by numbing out in whatever various ways because they don't want to face what's going on. But if you're in a relationship that isn't serving you, working a job that isn't serving you, or any aspects of your life, whatever isn't serving you will surface during luteal. And it's important to get to the deeper truth of what that is. And it's important to pay attention to what comes up on a cyclical basis every luteal. Like I've noticed in past partnerships that when it's gotten time to transition out of them, but I haven't wanted to admit that yet, it's like the same pattern comes up every single luteal. And I'm like, here I am in that luteal loop again. I know this. I know better. I know what is the ultimate truth around this, but I don't want to acknowledge it yet because I'm not ready. But it's always telling what's going on. And so it's important during that time to get to the deeper truth of what that actually is. And to really let your energy begin to draw inward. You, as women, we don't have as much capacity to give externally. Our hormones are dropping, our energy is drawing inward. The inner critic comes out a lot during the luteal phase, which for me, I like to look at it as like the inner critic is challenging you to step up and not give in to your insecurities, your fears, your limiting beliefs. But your inner critic will be there to show you exactly what those insecurities, fears, and limiting beliefs are that are preventing you from living more in your fullness and more in the truth of who you are. So it's like, it's this process of us really owning our power and saying, nope, that's not true. Like, that's not true. I'm not going to give into that. No, you're not going to bully me into that. And that's something that I've learned with the luteal phase is it's like our inner self is challenging us. Like, are you going to let yourself collapse under this pressure, or are you going to stand strong and keep forging ahead on your path?
Right. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, you've got so many helpful ways to reframe things that we have either not thought about or just been conditioned to think about in such a different way. And, you know, instead of thinking like, oh, it's PMS time, everybody should stay away from me, I'm going to be a bitch. It's like, oh, it's luteal phase. Like, I get to start to turn in and see what's working and what's not working and like do some, you know, self-reflection and really get clear on what I need to shift and what I'm ready to let go of and what I'm ready to take on and make some changes on. So I love that, having this roadmap and this framework for like when is the most appropriate time for that kind of inner work.
Yeah, totally. And it naturally happens. It naturally comes up. And also another piece with the luteal phase is there's three words that I like to use for it. It's assess, align, and refine. So you're assessing what is and isn't working in your life. It's a great filter time to filter out what isn't most supportive for your life anymore. So you're continually just like assessing what is and isn't working, and then refining what needs to come about out of that so that you can live a more aligned life. So luteal really lets us know how much we're in or out of alignment. So another piece to luteal that I want to speak to, for one, with the whole PMS thing, I like changing that to prioritize myself. That's an invitation to start prioritizing ourselves after we've just been like giving so much. Because again, it's not sustainable for women, for any humans, to be doing things for other people all the time. We have to have a natural contraction after an expansion of giving. We have to contract back into that energy of self and like, what do I need, so that then we can like expand out into that energy of giving to others and then contracting. Like we're just kind of in this continual expansion, and it's depleting our life force energy, because nothing in the nature of the earth or the cosmos is in a constant state of expansion. There's always that expansion and contraction, like the inhale and exhale.
Right.
So there's that piece of it, but also like, yes, luteal can be intense, but it doesn't need to be. The more in alignment you are with your path and your purpose and your soul's calling, the less intense luteal is.
Right. And the more you're in alignment with, you know, how to take care of yourself during these cycles, I've found like those symptoms really minimize when you are able to take that time to rest and, you know, eat the right kind of foods and do all the self-care. Yep. You know, yeah.
Yeah. So I think I forgot to, maybe I did say it. The luteal phase goes approximately day like 15, 16 to 26, 27. And then there's a latter part to the luteal energy that I also speak to, because it's a distinct difference. It's what I call deep luteal. It's when you're just like so deep in luteal, it's the point of no return. This is when hormones have all plummeted, even progesterone, estrogen, they all drop just before the bleed. And this is when you are being beckoned to enter into your inner temple. This is why that in deep luteal is where there's that crossover between the luteal energy and the menstrual energy, or the fall and the winter energy. There's these 1 to 3 days. Sometimes it can last longer, but generally it's 1 to 3 days prior to bleeding, where it's just a very clear and distinct shift of it's just like everything drops, that internal draw can start to settle in. And just before bleeding, anywhere from like 2 to 24 hours, the energy of separation starts to settle in, where we're really being beckoned to enter into our inner temple of menstruation. And part of that is we have to separate from the external world. That's part of any initiatory journey. And the menstrual cycle itself is an initiation into our power every single month. We're just getting to understand our power and our cyclical nature and wisdom. And the energy of the feminine is expressing itself through the totality of the cycle. So when we enter into that deep luteal energy, it is like this beckoning, like filters can go way down, like tolerance for people can just like not really be there. And this is where it's important to be really mindful of what we need during that time. For some women, the deep luteal energy is actually more intense than the menstrual energy. And some of that reason being is when the blood flow starts, for one, it's like a pressure release valve, because everything that's been like building up for that previous cycle or years or lifetimes or ancestrally that hasn't been processed and released, like it's getting that invitation for release and to move through. And also, physically speaking, estrogen starts to kick in a little bit once the blood flow starts. So we kind of get that hormonal boost again. So there's okay. that initiation period and that deep luteal energy where it's just like all of the reserves are tanked. And we just have to move through that with as much gentleness as possible. And the more we can separate ourselves from the external world and have compassion for ourselves, if we're like really snappy with people or whatever it is, it's because we just like, we don't have much reserve for anything, hormonally speaking.
Right. Wow, there are like so many questions coming to mind that I always want to ask, and I'm sure so many people want to ask, like, you know, things about birth control and, you know, what if I've had a hysterectomy and just, you know, so many questions. But I think this is like enough to digest for one time. And it was such, yeah, so good, so much good, juicy information. I think one last question I'll ask you is like, what would be like one simple step that people could take to just start to bring this awareness into their life?
I would say starting to, in a very simple way, track your cycle by making note of what day you're on, because that will start to give you reference point to the phases and to understand those. So I'm not a huge fan of cycle apps, but they work for some women, and it's a good starting point if you're not doing any tracking at all. But even in your journal or on your Google Calendar, like marking day one, and then from there, like day two, three, whatever it is, you can start to make reference for where you are. Day one is easy if you don't know where you are right now. Just wait until you start your next period, and then you can mark day one from there.
Yeah, awesome. And I actually started doing that, I think, probably after I first took class with you, and kept up with it almost daily for a few months. And it was really insightful, and I'm so glad I did. And now I just kind of check it. That's like I have like one journal just for like moon cycle awareness tracking. And I just, you know, check in every once in a while. I definitely, you know, make note of each time I bleed. And it's a good way, even if I'm like planning something in the future, like in the next few months, to go back and look and kind of get an average of my cycles and be like, okay, do I think I'm going to be bleeding at this time that I want to travel? And, you know, how can I make my plans or my event plans to most align with the best part of my cycle for that? And so that's been super helpful. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. Yeah. And one more thing is, one of my favorite things is whatever calendar you use, especially if it's an electronic calendar like Google or Apple Calendar, they have the option on to make a note for all day. So I'll just enter the days of my cycle there. So every time I look at my calendar, because I'm looking at it regularly to schedule clients and other things, I just always know what day I'm in. And I just start it and plug it in again once I start day one of my next bleed.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And I think, I mean, I would encourage, like you said, to instead of using an app or the phone, like we do everything now, it seems like can be and is almost like mandatory, it feels like, to do on our phones. But let's take this one thing back and, you know, or as many as possible, and not track it on our phone. And, you know, because we're trying to get back to nature and the natural cycles, and even just looking at the blue light of the screen disconnects us to that cycle. So I would really encourage people to do this one thing in an actual like paper calendar or journal and just get back to that, you know, just natural, simple way of doing things.
Totally.
Well, awesome. There's so much more you have to share, I know. And I know you have some amazing classes and programs. So for now, can you tell everybody where they can find you and connect with you?
Yeah, so I am on both Instagram and Facebook, and then I have a website, and you can sign up for my email list there. All of it is under my name, Cree Anaya Cox. So it's CREEANAIYAH and then Cox, COX. So that's Instagram, Facebook, website. Pretty much anything that I have online is underneath that.
Awesome. Ah, beautiful. Well, I always love chatting with you and hearing from you and feeling, you know, re-inspired and just reignited to really take on this beautiful challenge of paying attention and really bringing menstrual cycle awareness fully into the forefront of my days. So thanks for always inspiring me to do that. And I'm sure listeners are going to be really inspired by you and this conversation. So it was awesome to have you on the show, Cree.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to join you. I'm really grateful that you reached out and extended the opportunity.